Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I'm glad that when the Lord saves us, He puts us in a program of always learning. We are always in a continual process of having an education from God. That education comes from the Word of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it comes from other faithful people that have worked and served down through the years. And we're going to be dealing this morning with God's education program and how He works in our heart and works in our life. So 2 Timothy chapter number 3, we'll begin reading in verse number 13 and read down through verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't it a great thing that we can learn and continue to grow in the grace of the Lord? And Paul, as he writes to Timothy, he tells him in this last verse that the Scriptures are able to make us wise, first of all, unto salvation. Those of us who have been born again, those of us that are saved in this auditorium today, we have been made wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has done all these things for us that one day He might be able to take us to glory with Him. We ought to never think that we are never to be learning and ever learning in the things of God. The Word of God is given for our learning, for our teaching, for our edification. Timothy had been taught the Scriptures, the Bible says here, all of his life. He had known the Holy Scriptures from the time he was a child. And I'm glad that I can say that I've been in contact with the Word of God all my life. What a wonderful blessing that is to have had a home and a mom and a dad and family that love the God of heaven and love the Word of God, that I've been acquainted with the Scriptures all the days of my life. And that's how Paul describes Timothy here. He says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. How many in this auditorium this morning can say that you have been acquainted with the Word of God ever since you was a child? Raise your hand. Boy, isn't that great? Thank the Lord. There's a wonderful knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ from an early age until where we are right now. And I'm glad the Lord can capture us wherever we are in our age. He can capture us all the way through our adulthood and even middle age. And I'm glad He can capture us even as an elderly person. And the Scriptures will make us wise unto salvation. Age has really nothing to do with that, but the grace of God does. And we find that as a child, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that Timothy's grandmother and Timothy's mother were faithful in teaching him the Scriptures. Chapter 1, verse 5 says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, or the real faith, that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also." So Paul recognizes that Timothy was what he was at that point and could attribute it back to the teaching of his grandmother and the teaching of his mother. Doesn't say anything about his father, but these two women in his life were very important in the teaching and the training of Timothy. And Paul calls Timothy my own son in the faith. I'm glad today that we can find those that are faithful to teach us and to train us and to give us the Scriptures. And I'm glad I can look back in my past life and there are some men that I can call my fathers in the faith. Men that I can say that have been faithful in teaching the Word of God and has rubbed off and the Scripture has given me understanding through their knowledge and through their faithfulness that I can do what I do because of their faithfulness. We find in verse number 14, verse 13 tells us that evil men are going to just continually get worse. They're going to deceive and they're going to be deceived, and that's the attitude of the world in which we live. But you and I today, we are a bright light in a dark world. And Paul tells Timothy in verse number 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." Continue in those things which you have learned. And then he goes on, "and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. It's not enough, Timothy, to have just learned the Scriptures. It's not enough for you to just be assured in the Scriptures. It's not enough for him to just to know his teachers, but now he's going to have to continue in what he's had. All of a sudden, he's going to take up the gauntlet, and he's going to go off, and he's going to do what needs to be done. And I think that's the revelation that God gives to all of us. And from generation to generation to generation, there are those that pass off the baton. And we run the race with patience, and we do the work that has been done. I'm glad we serve the same God that those of days gone by served, and he can do the same thing through us, and he can help us just like he helped them. So many times, we hear people say, well, we're living in a terrible world. Well, we are. But guess what? 100 years ago, it was a terrible world. 200 years ago, it was a terrible world. We just have communication now. We know more about it. We know what's going on around the world. We know what's happening in the far distant lands. And immediately we know what's taking place. But the world has always been wicked. The world has always been sinful. But thank God there have been godly people that have taken the Word of God and given it to folks. And now we are recipients of that message of salvation. Timothy knew what it meant to live in a home that was saturated by the Word of God. He had studied the Scriptures. He had learned the Scriptures, and he had found them to be true. The claims and the promises of the Word of God, he had effectually worked in his life. And Paul is reminding him of what he had. But now he says, Timothy, it's time for you to continue. It's time for you to do the same. It's time for you to go on. The word continue means just to stay in a given place or a given state or relationship or even in an expectancy. The word is translated other places in the Scripture as remain or tarry, dwell, endure, present, and abide. And so Paul is telling Timothy, just stand fast in the work of the Lord and to be faithful and to continue in the work of Jesus Christ. Simply stated, Timothy was to live in the Scriptures. And I believe that's where we ought to live. To live in the Word of God. He was to live and move and have his being in the Scriptures or the idea of the Word of God to direct him. And he had to not only live in the Scripture, but he had now to live out the Scriptures. He had to tell others, had to give that message to those around him. He had to continue to walk in the truths of the sacred writings that they had at that time and was going to be used of God and to do what the Scriptures told him to do. And he was a person that had to learn the Scriptures. He was a person that had been assured of the Scriptures. There in verse 14, he says, thou hast learned and hast been assured. I'm glad I can have some assurance in the Word of God. He was a person that was to know his teachers and continue and to do the work of the Lord and to do the things that God had given him. I want us to look at four real quick things this morning concerning God's education program for us. And it is a continual education program. It's not a graduation point and we stop. Sometimes here at school I hear our seniors say, well, boy, when this year's over, I don't have to go to school ever again. Boy, do they have a rude awakening to happen. And when they get out of college, they say, well, I think I'm finished. And then all of a sudden, they got to do something else. And there's some other learning, some other training, some other teaching, something that they must have, even though they may be pursuing a certain way of life, and yet there's something else they've got to learn. And probably all of us have gone through that, and all of us have realized that there's no place of stopping. I heard someone say one time, when you stop learning, you're either dead or ought to be, and that's about right. There's no place to stop learning. There's no place to say that's it. You that are in high school, that graduation date, that's not all of it. That's just a first phase of it. That's just a stepping part. And so Timothy had to realize that there was a continuing program that was going to be used of God for him to be a faithful witness, for him to be used of God in those areas around him. And Paul admonishes him to continue. Not to give up, not to stop. I know too many people that's give up. We can raise our hand. We know folks that's given up. I've known too many people that have stopped. But that's not God's program. That's not God's plan. God's plan is for us to continue. For us to move forward and to go on. Here we find, number one, Timothy was to continue, and in Paul's admonition, Paul was admonishing him that there's a task out here. There is a task before us. We know as a church there's a commission out before us that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and bring them the gospel. And the plan of God is to tell the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. And converts will be made, and those converts will be baptized, and they contend for the faith and to serve God and to continue in that work that the Lord has given unto us. And so Paul was telling Timothy to continue. He admonishes him to continue to do what had been done in his life. This morning, as I made mention a moment ago and had you raise your hand, of how many of us had been in contact with the Scripture the most of our life, and our hands go up. Now we are admonished by the Word of God that we make sure our children have the same opportunity that we have. That we give them the same opportunity to hear the gospel and to have the message of salvation and the Word of God. And the plan is to carry the gospel to our families first. And when we do that, then we find our children coming into the fold of the Lord. What a blessing it is when children become Christians. The other day when we had our baptism, Brother Gallagher baptized Daniel. He said, not only is he my son, but now he's my brother. And that's a wonderful statement. Thank God that we can have that. When I baptized my grandson the week before, I was able to say and was able to think, he's not just my grandson, now he's my brother in Christ. And all of us have a continuing process of being admonished to do what God has told us to do, because there's a generation back here behind us that's going to fall in our place one day, and they're going to do pretty much what we teach them to do. They're going to do pretty much how they see mom and dad and how they see the actions of parents that call themselves Christians. And God's plan is for us to carry out the commission to go into all the world, not just around the world, but the world of our own place and our own home. So here we find that Paul tells Timothy and admonishes him in verse 14 to continue. The plea is the responsibility to remain faithful to the old paths of instruction. I believe that's something we better understand and try to get into our children's life and our grandchildren. There is a way that is right. It may not seem right, but there is a way that is right. And the way that seems right usually is not right. And so we need to teach our folks around us the responsibility that we're to remain in the old paths of instruction and the old paths of the Word of God. And the results are the reaping, the joys of the Lord in our life. Just as Timothy had been taught the Scriptures, from infancy it was clear that they're able to give faith to those that's coming along. And we'll notice the progression here in just a little bit. We are to take the sword of the Spirit. And by the way, it is this right here. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, according to Ephesians chapter 6. Admonishing to continue. Boy, it's easy to stop. It's easy to give up. It's easy to just go with the flow. God tells us to continue in righteousness. He tells us to continue in the work of the Lord. And God says, I have a plan. God says, I have a way. And that's the way that we must be and what we must follow. We are responsible. There's a responsibility given unto us because we have heard the Scriptures from a child. We have heard and we've known the Holy Word of God, and we've had the messages. We've learned the men of God. We've talked to preachers, and I thank God that I know I lived in a different generation than so many today, but when we had preachers come by our home, the pastor didn't take them out to eat. There was always a home that said, we'll take them. And we got acquainted, and there was preachers that came by our home all the time, had meals with us, and I saw one not too many years ago. He was in the nursing home, and he said, I remember sitting down and eating with your mom and dad, and you were right there. And I thank God for that memory. Thank the Lord for that. Continue. Now we do things so much differently, but I'm not sure we do them correctly. We need to have responsibility to remain faithful to the work of the Lord and to learn and to have the joy of knowing God's people. So Paul says here to continue. This was his admonition to Timothy, a young preacher, a young believer, a young man. And Paul says, continue thou. Number two, he was to continue. And Timothy would have to have confident assurance. You have to know that you know that it's true. Notice there, verse 14. Continue thou in the things thou hast learned. And you can go back and read it. Continue thou in the things that thou hast been assured of. Continue in those things that you have been assured of. This morning, I have an assurance that this book is the Word of God. I'm glad we have a Scripture. I'm assured of that in my heart. I depend upon God's Word. And so we are admonished by Paul, as he told Timothy, to have a confident assurance, to be sure. I believe every person in this auditorium this morning, I think you ought to be sure that you're sure that you're sure that you're saved. I don't preach doubt, you know that, but I do preach assurance, and you need to be sure. Have you done what the book says? Have you done not what some preacher said or what even I said, but have you done what the Bible says? It's the Word of God that makes us a child of God. I'm glad that we can have men that deliver the message, but it's the Word of God, and the powerful and quick, sharp sword of God that changes our heart through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to have a settled heart. I'm glad I don't get up every other morning and wonder if I was right yesterday. Now, I'm not saying I've never been taught anything and I've never been wrong, because I have been. But on the major doctrines of the Word of God, I'm glad I can be assured that these things are found in God's Word and I can trust them. To be have a settled heart, to be assured of, to have a self-assurance knowing that from whom we've received the teaching. Now, if you get your teaching off of CBN or some of them other NNNs and all that junk, if you get your teachings out of that, you can't be too assured of that. Because one guy's going to say this, and one guy's going to say this, and another one's going to say this, but they all have one thing in common. They say, if you give this. Now, if you get your assurance off of, I'm going to call it religious broadcasting, your assurance is going to waver. Paul says to Timothy, he says, you continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Know who you got your information from. Know where they stood. Know how they lived. Know what was in their life. And be assured that when they give it to you, it is truth. And it'll bring a sure hope of salvation. It has brought us all into salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm glad I can look back in my life and I can call off some names. You wouldn't know them. I've got some men and people and families in my heart and names in my life that I can look back and say, I'm glad I can be assured of what they believed. And therefore, they taught that to me. I can go back in my early life as in my training as being a preacher and doing the things that need to be taught and learned. And nobody can teach you how to be a preacher. That's God. But you need some training to know how to handle situations. And I'm glad I've got some men back there that I can call their names up and all of a sudden I remember what they said and what they did and how they helped me in my spiritual walk with God. That's the training that we get, knowing and be assured of whom we received our teaching. Men that lived the book. Men that loved the book. Men that had liberty to preach the Word of God and to know that they was not perfect, and sure, they had their problems. But when it came to the Word of God, they knew what God said, thus saith the Lord. So, Timothy, you continue. Be confident. Have a confident assurance in those at whom you have heard and those whom have given you certain instructions. Now, there may be some in here this morning that's had instructions from some people that were not too honest. And the Lord showed you the difference. But I'm glad we can look back and say, according to the book, according to the Scripture, they told me truth. Now, if a person tells you truth, it's sort of hard to argue with that. If someone gives you the Word of God and gives you the truth of that, it's hard to argue and say, I don't believe that. It's hard to say, I'm not going to do that, when we know it's assuredly coming out of God's Word. So, Timothy, you continue. Paul is instructing Timothy, that young man that he called his son in the faith.
He said, I want you to continue on in what you've heard because you heard it from your childhood. And now you've heard it from adulthood. You've heard from those that had delivered to you the gospel and the word of God. Be assured to continue and to be assured in the things of the Lord. To continue meant for Timothy that he was going to have to sometimes confront difficulties. We call it apostasy. Paul knew that Timothy was living in an age that apostasy was running rampant. My friend, if it was running rampant 2,000 years ago, what's it doing now? He tells us in chapter 3, first verse, Timothy, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, Timothy, you've got to continue in the Word of God because there's a battle to be waged. There's a battle that must be fought, and it must be won. There's apostasy out there, and so therefore, in verses 1 through 9 of our text chapter this morning, we find that Paul tells us that there's perilous times coming, difficult days, and he lists them, and he shows all the traits of these perilous days, and we could read them, but for sake of time, you read those, you'll find it describes us to a T where we are right now. So Timothy, you better continue because there's a battle. You better continue, child of God, this morning because there's a fight. Some people say, well, I don't believe in Christians fighting. Well, I believe we ought to fight the devil. I believe we ought to fight sin. I believe we ought to fight ungodliness. I believe we ought to stand on against it and let our voices be heard because we've been silent too long, and that's why part of why we're in the mess we're in. May God give us a stamina, give us a determination that we're going to stand by the book. Timothy, continue thou. You've learned it. That's good. You've had it given to you. That's good. But now, Timothy, it's your turn. It's your time to continue. It's your time to go forward. It's your time to fight the battle. It's your time to contend for the faith. In chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, it gives a description of the lifestyle that we're living in. Verses 6 through 9 gives examples of those that rebelled against God, Janes and Jambres, and how they rebelled against the Lord. Verse 13, where we read, shows us that the quantity will increase and the quality will worsen. Evil men, seducers. It doesn't say they're going to get better and better. It says they're going to get worse and worse. And if we think things are going to get better, we're living in a fantasy world. If we think the election is going to help us immensely, we're living in a fantasy world. Don't get me wrong. I believe we ought to vote. I believe every Christian ought to vote. And I believe you ought to vote right, according to what is according to the Word of God. But I'll tell you what. Whoever gets it, wickedness and evil is going to wax worse and worse. How do you know that? Well, the book says it. And so we find that there is a quality of sin, a quality of evil, a quality of wickedness that's going to worsen and worsen and worsen all the way down. So there are perilous times and we're going to have to confront apostasy. There are tools to confront. How are we going to do it? How are we going to fight ungodliness? How are we going to fight apostasy? And apostasy is just simply a denial of truth. This crowd that denies the Word of God, they're apostate. I don't care who they are or where they're from and where they stand. How are we going to fight that? Well, I believe, first of all, we follow the example of those who have gone before us. Look at verse number 10. But thou hast faithfully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered us. How are we going to fight the battle? Just look what they did in the past. I haven't had the problems that Paul had. Paul told Timothy, he said, you know my doctrine.
You know my manner of life. You know my way of life. You know how I had purpose and long-suffering and charity. But you also know that there's persecutions and afflictions. And somebody said, well, I just can't serve the Lord because everybody laughs at me or talks about me. Well, get in line. Well, I don't want everybody looking at me strangely. Well, you just need to get your eyes off of them and get your eyes on Him. I don't like what they say. Well, I doubt Paul liked it either. And Paul's not the prime example. The prime example is the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not undergo anything minutely close to what Jesus went through as He suffered for us. Follow examples of those that have gone before us. Then we're determined to endure. Just do what we're supposed to do. Verse 12 says, of that same chapter, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Endure it. Oh, thank God there's a better day coming. Our persecutions, our trials are just for a little while. They may seem like for an eternity, but they're not, because eternity is before us. And all things are made well and all things are made good. Continue now. He invokes upon us that we are to remember, as we've already talked about, remember what we were taught, some from a child. Remember those things. We are to make our existence rely totally upon the Word of God. For we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We know that the Word of God is real and is helpful for us and will give us. And so therefore we are to make sure our existence relies upon the Word of God. We're to expound the gospel. Chapter 4, Paul says, I charge thee. Here that these great verses there that Paul gave Timothy the charge to preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And it's amazing how one message can reprove and rebuke and exhort. You know what the difference is? It's the difference in the hearer. I'm glad God can rebuke me with a message that might reprove somebody else and might encourage somebody else, because it's the Word of God. So this morning, we are to continue to fight the battle. Stand strong in preaching. It says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. It doesn't matter if you feel like it or don't feel like it. Live for God and serve God. Paul tells him to continue because he was going to confront apostasy. If you don't continue, when apostasy and wickedness and evil comes before you, you'll run. We'll be like Demas, who hath forsaken the work. And then lastly, continue means that we need to transfer God's truth to committed hearers. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, he's writing to Timothy now. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Notice verse 2. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Here we see the progression of teaching. First of all, we're to trust. We are to commit to faithful men. The report is, Paul says, the things that thou hast heard. Timothy, you are to report the things that thou hast heard. Remember now, we're in God's continuing education program. The things that we've heard and we've got in our heart, we are to commit those to faithful men. So therefore, the things that I know will be the things that they know. And the things that they learn, they will do the same thing that we're doing, and they will commit it to faithful men. And what they know is because of what they told them, because of what they told them, because of what they told them. It's a continuing process of giving forth truth. Notice here he says, those things that you've heard of me. Paul says, Timothy, you know my doctrine. You know my manner of life. And you know you've heard of me. And he says, now, commit that to faithful men. Faithful men. I want to do something I don't never do. Brother Earl, come here a minute. I don't know how old Brother Earl is. I'm not going to ask him. He's older than I am.
You got that right.
All right. Stephen, come here a minute. Next one down. Let me look around here. You can come on this side, Stephen. Come here, Josh. Now, let's see. Come here, Brother Yandel. You scoot over, let Brother Yandel stay right here. I could pick out a different one. You stand right there on this side. Well, I could stand right here between you two. There we go. That makes you feel. Just feel bad. I'm moving. Commit thou to faithful men. Let me see. Brother, how many of your boys come here, brother? Right. Or the younger one. There you go. Okay. Stephen, besides, you're in the wrong spot, but that's all right.
It's always been there.
Okay, now the Scripture says we are to commit to faithful men what we have heard. Brother Earl somewhere heard the gospel and got saved and has been a faithful member of this church for longer than I've been here, and I've been here forever. And he's been a faithful man of God. And I could, Brother Jake could stand right here. He's probably older than anybody in here. And he's still outworking all these guys standing up here. And so we're told to commit to faithful men the Word of God. Somebody gave him the gospel. It may have been Brother Jay. I don't know. But somebody told him the truth. He got saved. He's one of the deacons in our church. Has been for a long time. Faithful. Now it says commit what you know to faithful men. Now Brother David, he says he's over the hill, but he's not as old as Brother Earl.
Right.
He's not as old as I am. He may have made that trip, maybe fallen down that hill, but he's not there yet. And he says for the older to commit to faithfulness. And Brother David has been a faithful child of God. Age-wise, we go from faithful to faithful. And the Scripture tells us that now it's his responsibility to commit to faithful men. Did you have him in school? Okay. I'm glad he answered it that way. He taught me. I asked him, did you have him in school? And so he's committed some of the things he knows to Stephen. Now Stephen has some things that he has in his life, faithfulness to the things of the Lord. And his responsibility, because in the process of time, Brother Earl will be gone. I will be gone. David will be gone. And you're going to be over here one day.
Yeah, right.
You're going to be over the hill. But you have a responsibility now to take care of this crowd. How old are you? 11 years old. I'm not going to ask you how old you are. It's your responsibility to take care of him and commit to him what he gave to you. And what he gave to him, he gave to you, you give to him. See what Paul's saying? Continue. How old are you, young man? He's 8. Now, one of these days, you two will be over here. We won't be here to see it, but you'll be over. And it's your responsibility to commit to faithful generation to follow. If we had any younger in here, you can go. Got one back there. Come here, Matthew. Come here. Will he come up here? Come here, buddy. He just started kindergarten this year. Stand out here. How old are you?
Five.
He's five. Okay. 11, 8, 5. One of these days, these kids now, and out there, somebody's going to take over. How's he going to know? How's he going to know what I know if I don't give it over here? How are they going to know what we know if we don't do our part? Timothy, commit thou to faithful men. Men that will take it and go ahead and do the same thing. And because one of these days these boys are going to be our age, and there's going to be some other ones behind them, younger. Y'all go sit down. Thank you. You can go, buddy. There's a report, things that we've heard. There's the reserve, faithful men. There is the replacement, who shall teach others. May God help us this morning to get in the battle, to continue, not to give up, not to go back, not to stop. There's too much of that gone on already in our Baptist circles. Oh, but these folks here, they have the same plan. Well, they do the same thing. It's the same plan. Timothy was strong in grace, so he was to commit that same doctrine to those that heard him. And they were to be sound in the words that they heard, and they were to maintain the right spirit. And then we'd go out and do the same performance and do the work of the Lord. You see how God's work continues on? It doesn't die when I die. It doesn't die when you die. It doesn't die when a man like Brother Ebert passed away. We're committed to faithful men. That's what we do. That's what they try to do in the Philippines and every other place that missionaries are doing what's right. The trainer, the trained, and the trainee are to continue in the truth entrusted to them, so that there be a coherent message. You don't get that off of television and radio. You only get that out of God's planned place. It's called the house of God. So may the Lord help us to continue to teach others, to be faithful, and have the power of God that they might see a difference in lives. Timothy, evil is going to get worse and worse and worse. But continue thou. May God help us this morning to continue. If we'd had time, I could have took one of them links out. If a link is missing, these down here, they don't get it. If we don't give to our children what we have, then ought not be surprised how your grandchildren act. That's not popular, but that's still true. If we do not do what we're supposed to do, the generation to follow doesn't have it. God's plan is a progressive continuing in the work of the Lord. May God help us to do that. We may not be a large congregation, but we can be a faithful congregation. We may not have the numbers, but I pray we have the Spirit of God. Oh, you can get the numbers. Anybody can go get the numbers. I can change things around here in 2 weeks. We'll fill her up. What you got? If you can't fill it by the book, by the word and the preaching, you got problems. Continue thou. Give it to faithful people serving the Lord. May God help us to do that. Let's stand together this morning.